You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time for our weekly catch-up with National MP Carl Bates.
Last week, Climate Change Minister Simon Watts announced numerous changes to New Zealand's Climate Change Response Act, including removing the requirement for Climate Change Commission advice on emissions reductions plans and easing requirements around public consultation on government targets. Last week, the second reading of the Regulatory Standards Bill also passed through Parliament despite large public opposition to the bill. Finally, the central government, alongside Auckland Minister Simeon Brown and Mayor Wayne Brown, have been discussing measures to move on homeless rough sleepers from the Auckland CBD. I spoke with MP Carl Bates about all of these topics. I started by asking about the government's motivations for changing the consultation requirements within the Climate Change Response Act.
So, truthfully, the government is absolutely committed to our climate change commitments and supporting climate action that both grows the economy and reduces the emissions. We are making a range of changes to improve New Zealand's climate change law to ensure it's working well and as was intended. The current system is considered to be unnecessarily complex and it's been duplicative in parts, which creates high compliance costs and slows effective action. So we're doing a range of things to get the system operating as it should and improved for the future.
Do you have any concerns that these decisions that seek to ease the expectations and obligations of the government to provide strong emissions reductions targets and plans, or at least to consult with the public and the Climate Change Commission on these plans, lacks a consideration of the urgency of climate change and maybe the public's role in putting pressure on those targets to be what they need to be?
No, I don't. The CCRA has been in place since 2002, so the Climate Change Response Act, with its last significant update being in 2019. So we wanted to have a review to see whether the Act is working well and as intended. As I said, the system's complex and has duplication in it, and so that's why we've made changes to remove some of that duplication. We've heard from the stakeholders that they're facing consultation fatigue and been asked for feedback on similar documents more than once. So, for example, the government's gone through a consultation process around the ERP2, and the commission has also gone through a consultation process for their advice on that as well. So that's just an example of where the system is got duplication and we're wanting to remove that and get focused on actually what the Act and the action is all there for. We don't want to get tied down in bureaucracy and consultation processes. So ultimately what the proposed changes will do will reduce costs to government and business and provide greater certainty, enabling us to make more meaningful reductions more efficiently. And I think that's the key.
What can New Zealanders expect to see from this government in terms of our global commitments within COP30?
So in terms of the process that we're going through, it's really clear that we are committed to our climate change commitments and supporting climate action that both grows the economy and reduces commitments. We're making a range of changes, as I said, to improve New Zealand's climate change law to ensure it's working well. And that's part of ensuring that our commitment to climate change is delivered on, but it's delivered on in an effective and an appropriate manner.
How optimistic are you that New Zealand is going to make the grade, not only strengthen our climate targets with what's necessary, but also meet or even exceed these targets?
So I think the Minister's been clear that we're on track. If you take, for example, the changes recently announced around our farming sector, we know that Kiwis are innovative, where Kiwi farmers are innovative, and we're investing in technology and partnerships to ensure that we achieve our climate emissions targets. And, you know, they're really clever examples of how we can achieve targets, but at the same time support the economic activity we need in New Zealand to both provide food for New Zealanders, provide exports, and bring in that all-important export dollar.
I'll move on to my next topic. The Regulatory Standards Bill passed its second reading last week. Now, this is a bill that received 159,000 public submissions, overwhelmingly in opposition. My first question has to be, what is the purpose of this public consultation process at all if such an overwhelming majority can be disregarded?
So the Select Committee process is not a poll. And I think sometimes we try and equate how many submissions there were and what way they indicate support or not for a bill as indicative of some form of poll. And the Select Committee process isn't for that. And I think the more good quality, insightful submissions we get for Select Committees, that helps us work through legislation in front of a Select Committee and ultimately improve the outcome. In terms of the Regulatory Standards Bill, that is being passed as it was agreed upon as part of the National Act Coalition Agreement. Its aim is to reduce the amount of unnecessary and poor regulation by increasing transparency and making it clearer where primary and secondary legislation does not meet certain standards.
Was any of the feedback of the bill incorporated into revisions between readings?
So I wasn't on that Select Committee process, so I'm not off the top of my head clear on exactly how that process transpired. I think it's important to recognise that the standards that the bill requires of legislation are standards that New Zealanders already expect from us. Ultimately, it's important to remember that proposed laws by any government cannot be struck down as a result of recommendations from the Regulatory Standards Board. Departure from their recommendations will just need to be justified. So it's about increasing accountability for the New Zealand public.
I'm going to go on to my last topic now, actually, on to measures being considered to move homeless rough sleepers on from Auckland CBD, in particular in the lead up to summer. It's been highlighted that there's been recent investment in 300 more Housing First places, although not all of these have become available. In fact, only a couple have. Are you concerned that this push precedes the necessary steps that ensure that these rough sleepers have access to available housing and aren't just moved somewhere else in the city?
It's something that is a complex issue, and there is work being considered around how rough sleepers are best supported, and all of those components of how support is provided to rough sleepers when they're looking for accommodation, when they're found to be in areas that are creating challenges, will need to be considered as part of the process.
What kind of immediate steps is National supporting or endorsing or going forward with to address the safety concerns surrounding those rough sleeping in the CBD?
Well, there's a number of conversations with different stakeholders happening at the moment, as I understand it, and they're working through options. No decisions have been made yet on what that will look like. So as those conversations are had with stakeholders, the sort of issues that you're referring to will be considered.
That was National MP Carl Bates on the Climate Change Response Act changes, the Regulatory Standards Bill, and Auckland CBD homelessness measures being considered by Auckland Minister Simeon Brown, Mayor Wayne Brown, and central government.
That was our weekly chat with National MP Carl Bates.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.